Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. And the program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel radio and literature ministry, sharing the Word of God around the world in English and 16 other major languages. Now, for the past few weeks on Hope for Today, we've been studying from Daniel chapter 8. The title of our study is Kingdoms in Succession. This account of Daniel's vision focuses more narrowly on the kingdoms of Medo-Persia and Greece. And we were looking at the rise of the Greek Empire during our last time together, but we weren't able to finish our study. So let's resume now, and I will read the text, Daniel chapter 8 and verses 1 to 14. And then we'll learn more about the Greek Empire and how it fit into the vision that Daniel was seeing. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me, Daniel, after the one that appeared to me the first time. I saw in the vision, and it so happened while I was looking, that I was in Shushan, the citadel, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in the vision that I was beside the river Ulai. Then I lifted my eyes and saw, and there, standing beside the river, was a ram which had two horns, and the two horns were high. But one was higher than the other, and the higher one came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward, northward, and southward, so that no animal could withstand him, nor was there any that could deliver from his hand. But he did according to his will, and became great. And as I was considering, suddenly a male goat came from the west, across the surface of the whole earth without touching the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. Then he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing beside the river, and ran at him with furious power. And I saw him confronting the ram. He was moved with rage against him, attacked the ram, and broke his two horns. There was no power in the ram to withstand him, but he cast him down to the ground and trampled him. And there was no one that could deliver the ram from his hand. Therefore, the male goat grew very great. But when he became strong, the large horn was broken. And in place of it, four notable ones came up toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came a little horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land. And it grew up to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and some of the stars to the ground and trampled them. He even exalted himself as high as the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifices were taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Because of transgression, an army was given over to the horn to oppose the daily sacrifices, and he cast truth down to the ground. He did all this and prospered. Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to that certain one who was speaking, "How long will the vision be concerning the daily sacrifices and the transgression of desolation, the giving of both the sanctuary and the host to be trampled underfoot?" And he said to me, "For 2,300 days, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed." Now we don't have to wonder about what this means, because again, Gabriel interprets for Daniel and for us. Gabriel tells us later in the chapter that the goat represents the kingdom of Greece. Most expositors identify the single horn as illustrating the dominant leadership of Alexander the Great. Part of the hatred and rage that's expressed in this text comes from the fact that the Persian Empire had previously attacked Greece. Both Darius and his son Xerxes had conquered some of the Greek city-states and made slaves of the people who lived in them. Now it's time for Greek payback. You know something? All of this has been fulfilled dramatically in history. Alexander's lightning conquest of the Persian Empire is well documented. Beginning in May of 334 BC in Asia Minor, Alexander's forces moved rapidly to subdue the Persians, and they finally triumphed in October of 331 BC. Because Daniel's prophecy is so detailed, liberal critics have claimed that Daniel was writing history instead of prophecy. But you know something? God has no problem foretelling the future, because he planned it and he controls it. Now, verse 8 describes how after the goat became very powerful, his large horn was broken. Greece had barely reached the peak of its power when Alexander died. He was only 33. Here was a type of the coming Antichrist, a man possessed of a brilliant intellect and consumed with demonic rage. He set up a power structure in Israel that established Greek rule and the worship of Greek gods. He set the stage for the little horn that appears in verse 9. The poet Charles Ross Weed compared the life of Jesus and Alexander. Both of them died at the age of 33. Here's what he wrote. Jesus and Alexander died at 33. One lived and died for self. One died for you and me. The Greek died on a throne. The Jew died on a cross. One's life a triumph seemed, the other but a loss. One led vast armies forth, the other walked alone. One shed a whole world's blood, the other gave his own. One won the world in life and lost it all in death. The other lost his life to win the whole world's faith. Jesus and Alexander died at 33. One died in Babylon, and one at Calvary. One gained all for self, and one himself he gave. One conquered every tongue, the other every grave. The one made himself God, the other made himself less. The one lived but to blast, the other but to bless. When died the Greek, forever fell his throne of swords. But Jesus died to live forever, Lord of lords. Jesus and Alexander died at 33. The Greek made all men slaves. The Jew made all men free. One built a throne on blood. The other built on love. The one was born of earth. The other from above. One won all this earth to lose all earth and heaven. The other gave up all, that all to him be given. The Greek forever died. The Jew forever lives. Now, at Alexander's death, his kingdom was divided into four parts by his army generals. But that division was a process. It took 22 years of intrigue and fighting and treachery. If you want to know the names of the generals and the areas they controlled, you can find that in the secular history of the period. Let it suffice to say that Ptolemy was the general that took authority over the area that included Palestine. So you have the large horn that's broken, and you have the four notable ones coming up in each direction of the compass. And then in verse 9, you have a little horn, a fifth one, springing out of one of the four. This little horn comes out of the Seleucid dynasty, and this little horn represents Antiochus IV. Antiochus took the title Epiphanes, which meant God manifest, or we might say, God in the flesh. So he was literally claiming to be deity. Now the Jewish people gave him a nickname. They called him Epimenes, which means maniac. He was the eighth king of the Seleucid dynasty, which ruled present-day Syria, Iraq, and part of Turkey. But he wasn't the rightful heir to the throne. He obtained it through flattery and bribery. Our text says that this little horn grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land. The King James Version says beautiful land. I believe that's a reference to Israel. He attacked Egypt, Armenia, and Elymais, and he forced on the Jewish nation unwelcome religious and civil policies. As Daniel watched, he saw this horn grow up to heaven and cast down some of the starry host and trample on them. What's that about? Well, in Genesis 15:5 and 22:17, the descendants of Abraham are likened to the stars. I believe what this means is that Antiochus Epiphanes would persecute the Jewish people. And that's exactly what happened during his reign and during the time of the Maccabees. He destroyed many copies of the Torah, and he ordered the death of anyone who was caught with a copy of it. He commanded the Jewish people not to observe their feast days, and he also commanded them to offer unclean animals on the altar. If he found little boys who had been circumcised, he hung them up to die. He was ruthless. But notice, this fellow isn't finished yet. He magnifies himself, according to the text, as high as the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifices were taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Because of transgression, an army was given over to the horn to oppose the daily sacrifices, and he cast truth down to the ground. He did all this and prospered. Now, if Israel, the Jewish people, are the starry host, who then is the prince of the host? It must be God. So Antiochus will set himself up as God. Remember, his name Epiphanes means God manifest, or God in the flesh. We know from history that he erected an altar to the Greek god in the temple, and he ordered the Jewish people to worship Zeus. He also arrogantly went into the temple and desecrated it by offering flesh from a pig on the altar. Antiochus assumed rights and prerogatives that belonged only to God. And when the Jews protested, he had vast numbers of them just slaughtered, just wiped out. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like an audio CD or a printed copy of this teaching, just write and request it by its title, Kingdoms in Succession. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address, again, is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Kingdoms in Succession. I'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address, again, is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, Kingdoms in Succession. It's available either in print or on an audio CD. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, Kingdoms in Succession, from Daniel chapter 8. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.